Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control, my sugar was out of control, waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range, my weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 466. We will be beginning in the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. That's 2 Thessalonians. It is a short book, only three chapters. Then we will probably get into 1 Timothy. Let's see how it goes. As in all the letters of Paul, they need to be read without a break. I cannot stop for verse numbers because it breaks up the reading. I will go back through the chapter when I have finished with each chapter and give notes by verse number, etc., etc. But I will not be giving verse numbers while I am reading. So read along with me in whatever Bible that you want to, but we're in 2 Thessalonians, verse 1 of chapter 1. Shaul and Silas and Timotheus to the assembly of the Thessalonians in Elohim our Father and the Master Yeshua Messiah. Favor to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the Master Yeshua Messiah. We ought to give thanks to Elohim always for you brothers as it is proper, because your belief grows exceedingly, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing, so that we ourselves boast of you among the assemblies of Elohim for your endurance and belief in all your persecutions and afflictions which you are bearing, clear evidence of the righteous judgment of Elohim, in order for you to be counted worthy of the reign of Elohim, for which you also suffer. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength, when he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones and to be admired among all those who believe in that day, because our witness to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you that our Elohim would count you worthy of this calling and complete all the good pleasure of goodness and the work of belief with power, so that the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah is esteemed in you, and you in him, according to the favor of our Elohim and the Master Yeshua Messiah. That ends chapter 1. Okay, let me get a little drink of water here. Yeah, the way this is written, it's very long-winded. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. He pauses for a breath now and then, but there's never any real stops. So I have to read the whole thing. Oh, water. Yes, I needed that. Let's dissect this chapter 1, verse by verse. Verse 1 of chapter 1 is the standard greeting that he gives everybody. And you can reference the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 1. That's Acts 17, 1. For that standard greeting. I mean, it's the same in a lot of these letters, just with some name changes. You know, if he's talking to the Thessalonians or whoever, he names them. That's Acts 17:1. They're being persecuted, like all the Christians are. And he talks about punishment. In verses 6 through 10, I read 6 through 10 a lot because it tells the fate of those that are persecuting us. Okay, verse 6. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you. Hey, what goes around comes around. Yahweh's going to slam them. Verse 7, he's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty messengers. Those are destroying angels. They're not little wing cherubs or whatever the little stupid things are, the cute little things. These are killers. He's coming back with an army. He's going to take care of business. In verse 8, it tells how. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim. That's the tares. And on those who do not obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah. The white folks that won't obey, that are in rebellion. And we tell people week after week after week, show after show after show, repent. Come into this covenant, you'll be destroyed if you don't. How many listen? A few? Oh yeah, we're getting through to a few. The number is growing gradually, but not leaps and bounds. It's not like the mega churches that tickle their ears. Oh, they tell them anything they want them to hear. the prosperity doctrine, boys. Oh, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and all this wonderful. And if you send us money, you're going to get all these blessings. That's all it's about. That's what it's about. It's about their income and that collection plate. They will tell you anything that you want to hear. They will tickle those ears to get you to give them money. What's going to be their fate? Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength? And for that verse, verse 9, you can reference Isaiah chapter 2, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. This is the flaming sword deal, where he's going to come back and it's going to be a bloodbath. And these people think they're going to escape. Oh yeah, they're escaping justice right now. He's letting them play out their little evil schemes. And he's taking notes. He knows who's doing what. It's a twofold purpose. It's revealing the wicked ones and it's revealing the righteous ones and testing us and trying us by fire to see if we're going to keep the faith during times of trouble. Oh, it's easy to be faithful when everything's going good, but when things are bad, do you call upon Yahweh? Do you have faith? Do you believe what Yeshua Messiah says? Or is it easier just to go back into the world? See, this is the separation process of the wheat and the tares. A lot of people have heard the word. A lot of people say they believe. But when it gets tough out here, they sort of just crawl back in their little shell. Oh, I'm a Judeo-Christian. I don't go along with that CI stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did for a little while. But when it gets tough and you get persecuted and you get on some kind of a list, oh no, I don't want any part of that. I'm not part of that. Just like he denied him three times in the cock crowed. Well, you want to deny Christ? Well, he'll deny you before the Father. So that's what this first chapter is all about. The picking and choosing of the people to follow Yeshua, okay? Yahweh's not having puppets. He wants people that are willing followers, that are really believers and doers of the word. That's the key thing, to do the word, even under pressure. When he talks about pressure here, in any of these chapters, when he's talking about pressure, that's persecution. Okay, that's people working on you and cutting off your credit account and firing you from your job. That's pressure. That's persecution in this world. And if you have faith under pressure, that's real faith. Okay, let's get into chapter 2. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Let me get a little drink of water here. I have the heat on in my apartment because it is very cold here. And when you have the heat on, it tends to dry out the air. So I need to drink lots of water. All right, verse 1 of chapter 2. As to the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah and our gathering together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as if the day of Yahweh has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or that is worshipped, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Do you not remember what I told you this? Or that I told you this, pardon me, while I was still with you? And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in his time. For the secret of lawlessness is already at work. Only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst. And then the lawless one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood, in order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. Always for you, brothers, beloved by the Master, because Elohim from the beginning chose you to be saved in set apartness of spirit and belief and in the truth, unto which he called you by our good news for the obtaining of the esteem of our Master Yeshua Messiah. So then, brothers, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our letter. And our Master Yeshua Messiah himself, and our Elohim and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good expectation through favor, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now that ends chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to go through and go verse by verse with the comments and notations. So let's get back over to the beginning of the chapter. Verse 1, as to the coming of our Master Yeshua Messiah and our gathering together to him, we ask you, brothers, okay, gathering together to him. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. Verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first. Okay. That falling away is already here. It's you can see it in these churches. They are doing whatever they want. They're teaching false doctrine. Okay. Continuing on in verse 3, and the man of lawlessness. Now you can reference Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 through 39 for that. Daniel 11, 36 through 39. The man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction. That also goes with verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or that is worshipped. So he's going to present himself as God, and he is not God. That's Daniel 11, verses 36 through 39, and Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verse 2. Ezekiel 28:2. Okay. Verse 8. The lost one shall be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Reference Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4. Isaiah 11:4. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. Okay. Fake stuff to deceive you. Reference Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Matthew 24, 24. Those that love this falsehood and love the world, love their stuff and all that stuff, and for this reason, verse 11, and for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood. Okay? Reference Matthew chapter 7, verse 42. That's Matthew 7:42. John chapter 9, verse 39, and John chapter 12, verse 40. That's John 9:39 and 12:40. And Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Romans 1, 24 through 28. Okay, verse 12. In order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. They love their stuff. They love the world. They're rewarded in this world by the evil one, but they've lost their eternal reward. They're living in the now, and all they've got is now, because when now is ended, they're going to be destroyed. Verse 13. But we ought to give thanks to Elohim always for you, brothers, beloved by the Master, because Elohim from the beginning chose you to be saved. From the beginning. Predestination again. Okay? They want to deny that. That's what Paul wrote. Reference Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. For verse 13. And, let me get another drink of water, and then we'll do chapter 3 and wrap this up. Chapter 3 here is a sign-off. He usually writes a letter and gives them instructions, and then he gives his, you know, say hello to this one and that one, and it's a sign-off. But he gives further instructions in this final chapter, in this letter. Okay? verse 1 of chapter 3. For the rest, brothers, pray for us, so that the word of Yahweh spreads rapidly and be praised, as also with you. And that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have belief. But the Master is trustworthy, who shall establish you and guard you from the wicked one. Verse 4. And we trust in the Master as to you, both that you do and shall do what we command you. And the Master direct your hearts into the love of Elohim and into the endurance for Messiah. But we command you, brothers, I need to clear my lungs here just a second. Oh, that dry air is getting to me. But we command you, brothers, in the name of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but worked with labor and toil night and day in order not to burden any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example for you to imitate us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone does not wish to work, neither let him eat. For we hear of some among you walking disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. But we command and urge such through our Master Yeshua Messiah to settle down, work, and eat their own bread. And you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this letter, note that one, and do not keep company with him, so that he is put to shame. However, do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And the Master of Peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Master be with you all. The greeting of Shaul with my own hand, which is a sign in every letter. Thus I write. The favor of our Master Yeshua Messiah be with you all. Amen. That ends chapter 3. We're going to go back through it. He had somebody transcribe the letter, and then he signed it because his vision was going at this point, and he couldn't really see well. And if he tried to write an orderly letter, the whole letter would be a mess. So he dictated the letter, and then they showed him where to sign when he was done, and he signed it because he was having vision problems. He was a tent maker. He worked at his trade when he was in these parts, Thessalonica. They worked. He didn't just sit around and preached. He went out and had work and brought money in and helped people. That's the whole deal. Now, verse 2 of chapter 3, unreasonable and wicked men. How many infiltrators have we had come into the CI congregations, or any congregation really, to just tear it up? That's their plan from the get-go. They're there as wolves in sheep's clothing. That's the method of the adversary, to put people like that in our assemblies. That's what he does. That's what he does. So, they had some people that were evidently misbehaving. They were doing things that were not fit for the assembly. And verse 6 talks about that. But we command you, brothers, in the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. There was a certain way of worship and a certain, you didn't do certain things according to Scripture. And that's what he taught them. And if these people were doing these things, and they were not true brothers, they were bucking against Elohim. He warned them. Verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but worked with labor and toil night and day in order not to burden any of you. He didn't just come and mooch off the assembly, nor did his two companions. They did work to help the brethren where they were. Verse 9, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example for you to imitate us. In other words, yeah, they were senior pastors, they were preachers, they were esteemed men, well known, but they didn't take advantage of that. They didn't take advantage of that. They worked. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone does not wish to work, neither let him eat. Because they had communal meals and stuff like that. If they just, well, the next verse tells, for we hear of some among you walking disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies, going around gossiping and interfering in other people's business and spreading rumors and doing stupid stuff. Well, he's warning them against people that did that. Don't mess with people that do that. They're not true brothers. All right. Verse 14, and if anyone does not obey our word in this letter, note that one, and do not keep company with him, so that he is put to shame. In other words, shame him by sort of shunning him. Don't regard him as an enemy, but say, look, until you straighten up, we really can't have you around. You know, you're tearing things up, you're disturbing everybody, you're causing strife. If you want to be with us, that's fine. We would love to have you with us, but you have to straighten up and you have to start acting in the proper manner. Don't do it mean, but you have to be firm. You have to be firm, you know. I have had to do that. And I have lost friends because of it. Look, you know, you're doing wrong. You're getting into stuff you shouldn't get into. You need to straighten up. This is not scriptural. And if they just keep on keeping on, I just say, look, you know, I can't can't have you around me because your actions are going to reflect on me. If I tolerate your apostate actions, then people will not listen to what I have to say. And what I have to say is the word, and the word is more important than our friendship. You're going to have to choose. You know, either straighten up and stop this stuff, or just move on, guy. You know, well, aren't you somebody? No, I'm not, but the word is. I have a responsibility to my Maker. I have been called to do certain things. I cannot have anything in this world interfere with that. If I love anybody more than I love Yeshua Messiah, shame on me. And that's it. Well, that ends 2 Thessalonians. We do have plenty of time. We're going to get into 1 Timothy. And again, this is a letter to Timothy. Okay. Another drink of water here. Wet my dry pipes. Oh, that's good. Chapter 1, verse 1. Shaul, an emissary of Yeshua Messiah, according to a command of Elohim, our Savior, and of the Master Yeshua Messiah, our expectation. To Timotheus, a genuine child in the belief, favor, compassion, peace from Elohim, our Father, and Yeshua Messiah, our Master. As I appealed to you when I went into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus, in order to command some not to teach differently, nor to pay attention to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than an administration of Elohim, which is in belief. Now, the goal of this command is love from a clean heart, from a good conscience, and a sincere belief, which some, having missed, turned aside to senseless talk, wishing to be teachers of Torah, understanding neither what they say nor concerning what they strongly affirm. Verse 8, and we know that the Torah is good if one uses it legitimately. Pay attention to the next couple of verses. Knowing this, that Torah is not laid down for a righteous being, but for the lawless and unruly, for the wicked and for sinners, for the wrongdoers and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for those who whore, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and for whatever else that is contrary to sound teaching, according to the esteemed good news of the blessed Elohim which was entrusted to me. And I thank Messiah Yeshua, our Master, who empowered me because he counted me trustworthy, putting me into service. Me, although I was a former blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter, But compassion was shown me because being ignorant, I did it in unbelief. And the favor of our Master was exceedingly increased with belief and love which are in Messiah Yeshua. Trustworthy is the word and worthy of all acceptance that Messiah Yeshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But because of this, I received compassion, so that in me first, Yeshua Messiah might display all patience as an example to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the sovereign of the ages, incorruptible, invisible to Elohim, who alone is wise, be respect and esteem forever and ever. Amen. This charge I entrust to you, son Timotheus, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage the good campaign, having belief and a good conscience, which some have thrust aside and suffered shipwreck concerning their belief. Among these are Humanaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan in order to be taught not to blaspheme. And that ends chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Okay. Timothy was one that was preaching. He was called. Verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, you can reference Acts 16:1. Acts 16:1. That's that standard greeting deal to someone or an assembly. Verse 4. Fables and endless genealogies. Fables of the Talmudists that they had inserted in the religion of the day, and endless genealogies. They were trying to prove that they were descended from Greek gods. That's what he's talking about there. Greek gods, not proving they're Israelites. They were going to show that somehow they were descended from these Greek gods. And the fables, both of the Talmudists and the apostate or pagan Greeks who were Israelites, they had adopted a lot of these pagan practices, and they were trying to show, oh, I'm descended from so-and-so, this god, because blah, 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 and they were doing that nonsense. Verse 5, now the goal of this command is love from a clean heart, from a good conscience, and a sincere belief, which, verse 6, which some, having missed, turned aside to senseless talk. They were discussing nonsense, stuff that wasn't pertinent, stuff that wasn't in the teachings. Verse 7 confirms this, wishing to be teachers of Torah, understanding neither what they say nor concerning what they strongly affirm. They were talking out of their hat, trying to present themselves as authorities on subjects of which they had no clue. They may read words, but they don't get the meanings of it. They don't understand what it's saying to them. So they go off on these tangents, much like we have today, all these different sects in Christianity, teaching all this doctrine of men as Scripture, but it's not Scripture. They can't back it up in Scripture. There's, well, that's how we believe. Well, and you believe falsely. What can I say to you? Verses 9 and 10. All right. Knowing this, the Torah is not laid down for a righteous being. All right. They're already doing what Yahweh wants them to do. If they're righteous. All right. The law is to identify and teach what people are doing that they shouldn't be doing so they can quit. You know, hey, look, you're not supposed to do that. Why? Because this is what the Bible says. Oh no. I need to stop that. Okay, well, that's what he's talking about in this. Because they were living in the world and they were doing all the stuff of the world. Knowing this, the Torah is not laid down for a righteous being. Verse 9, but for the lawless and unruly, for the wicked and for sinners, for the wrongdoers and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for those who whore, for sodomites, oh no, that's politically incorrect, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers. They were to be condemned. It tells them that they're going to be condemned. Verse 13. He's talking when he was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter. You can reference Acts chapter 8. Verse 3. Acts 8:3. And Acts 9. Verses 4 and 5, Acts 9, 4 and 5, concerning verse 13 here. And he says, Messiah came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Because he was the persecutor and the accuser and the executor of the early Christians until Yeshua himself appeared to Paul. He was a virulent Pharisee following Talmudic Judaism fervently and believing in it. And all of a sudden, kaboom, on the road to Damascus, Yeshua appeared and says, why do you persecute me? He struck him blind, fell to the road, and people heard the voice, but they couldn't see anything. Only Paul could see it. And if he's going to call somebody like that, that was killing the Christians and persecuting the whole faith, I can't question why he called someone like me. See, this applies to me. I relate to this because I know what I was before I became a follower of Yeshua Messiah. I know what I was and I know what I am now. And I endeavor to walk the straight and narrow path because my sins are forgiven. I was not a believer. I dabbled, I came in and came out and had to fight the world. And finally, I just said, well, I give up. You know, I'm yours. And it's been wonderful. Okay, here's chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. Verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men, for sovereigns and all those who are in authority, in order that we lead a calm and peaceable life in all reverence and seriousness. For this is good and acceptable before Elohim, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, that he's talking to Israelites, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men, the man Messiah Yeshua. That's verse 5. And for verse 5, I'm going to give you the notes here. I'm going to break my stride. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 8:6, Ephesians 4:6, and Mark 12:29-34. Mark 12:29-34. That's 1 Corinthians 8:6, Ephesians 4:6, and Mark 12:29-34. Because that verse is so important. There is one Elohim. That's one God, that's Yahweh. And one mediator between Elohim and men, that was the man in the flesh, Yeshua, Messiah. He is the mediator in the form of a man. Verse 3 says, Elohim, our Savior. Yahweh is our Savior. Yahweh is Yeshua in the flesh. All right, continuing on with verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be witnessed in its own seasons, for which I was appointed a proclaimer and an emissary. I am speaking the truth in Messiah and not lying, a teacher of the nations in belief and truth. So I resolve that the men pray everywhere, lifting up hands that are set apart, without wrath and disputing. Likewise, that the women dress themselves becomingly, with decency and sensibleness, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but with good works, which is becoming for women undertaking worship of Elohim. Let a woman learn in silence, in all subjection. But I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, rather to be in silence. Because Adam was formed first, then Chawa. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, having been deceived, fell into transgression. But she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in belief and love and set apartness with sensibleness. Boy, he lays down this law for a man. All right, that ends chapter 2. Let's go back through the verses I haven't covered. I covered verse 5 with all those notes. Verse 7 of chapter 2 referenced 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Timothy 1, verse 11. Okay. Verse 9. Likewise, that the women dress themselves becomingly with decency and sensibleness. Don't be wearing short skirts that show everything. And deck yourself out with all this junk jewelry. Reference 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 10, reference Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, 27. Verse 13. That gives the order of creation. Adam was formed first. Then Chawa, Genesis 2, verse 7, Genesis 2, verses 21 and 22. That's Genesis 2, 7, and 21 and 22. Verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, having been deceived, fell into transgression. That's Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. 3, 1 through 6. All right. It clearly says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Now, they can teach children, Bible verses. That's fine. They can have women's Bible study classes, but they are not to teach or have authority over a man. They don't teach the men's Bible study. The men's Bible study is separate. They don't come in and be boisterous and try to take over and tell men how to do things. That's wrong. Now, that's going to upset a lot of the liberal people. I'm very, very sorry about your bad luck, but that's what Paul says. You can hate on Paul, okay? But I agree. And the women at our assemblies ask questions and they learn from the men. You ought to see some of our assemblies there. Magnificent. And the women... Oh, totally different than these floozies out there in the world today. They're ladies. They're wonderful. Yahweh bless them. Well, I'm down the end here. I have less than 3 minutes. I will be back on the next show. We will continue in 1 Timothy and finish it up. And I'm hoping that you're enjoying these lessons and the readings. So may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will catch you on the next show. If you've missed any of my shows, my website's www.pastor-steve.com. And there's a couple Pastor Steves out there, and I'm not them. So, I'm the EFR, Pastor Steve. I'll talk at you later. It's always a pleasure. I love these readings. Praise Yahweh, and may He bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.